day, a new week, a new month, a new year, the beginning of a new decade. Wow. That's quite a lot to imagine. I was driving around yesterday and listening to the radio, and this is a story that I heard. January is a month when people who own physical fitness facilities salivate. Because they know that there will be a lot of people who sign up to get back in shape. But the reason they salivate is because most of those people won't finish the month. And they depend upon all that front-end revenue to be able to sustain them throughout the year. Then I listened to a physical fitness instructor that said, you could for 30 days work out like crazy and eat right and sleep 9 hours a day and at the end of the month feel great. But then the question, is that sustainable? The answer to that is also probably no. So I thought maybe this year, instead of a resolution, I'll try to do a reset and see if that can be sustainable. I leave on Tuesday for 10 days in the North Pacific. And my first few days are going to be at the base of beautiful Mount Rainier. I think Dave is very familiar with that. He looked at that most of his youth. And the reason for going there is to participate in a conference for 60-plus people. That is, people over 60, and I qualify for that. So it'll be a wonderful experience, but the thing that we're talking about is how do we stay sustainable as God's people all the days of our lives? And in preparation, I was drawn to Psalm 92, which is a part of a process that we have in the covenant called Crescendo. In fact, Pastor Liz has been participating with us in that. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. How do we stay fresh and green? Well, I think there are some clues in this text. It's very interesting because Elijah had just had a great victory over the prophets of Baal. And now, in fear, because of a word that somebody was after him, he took off. And he just, now get this, he had just defeated, with God's help, of course, hundreds of people who were worshipers of idols. And now one word scared him. Well, some have speculated that he probably was suffering from post-holiday depression, you know, after a great event. Nancy and I were talking last week about it takes about a week at least to get all your shopping done, and the presents are open in 15 minutes. It takes 2 days to prepare the dinner, and it's over in 15 or 20 minutes. And then what? Well, often it's a letdown. So he takes off, runs away, and thinks he's going to escape from God. Well, here are some lessons, I think, that he learned. And maybe some of these can help us be sustainable as well. So let's think about this year, forgetting about resolutions, and thinking about reset. Now, all the points will start with the letter R. As they say in Jeopardy, all the clues will have the letter R in them. So the first one is this: refresh, rest. We need that probably after the holidays. But this is what happened to Elijah. God administered to him food and rest. And because he was so exhausted from his fleeing, he had to have round two. And after he was rested and refreshed, he was able to move on to new things, but he still had some lessons to learn, as perhaps I do and maybe we do. The next one is refocus. We can always use a refocus. Now, hear the story. Here he was, complaining to God, asking basically God to let him die. And essentially what God said to him was, you're not in charge of your life. I'm in charge of your life, and I'll let you know when you're finished. But between now and then, there are some things that I have for you to do. And the first thing is to get your mind off yourself and start looking back at me for your sense of purpose. Now, it's very interesting that as we go through life, the sociologists, the psychologists, and some of the spiritual directors will tell us this, that if we don't maintain our sense of purpose, it can be very deleterious to our overall well-being. And what had happened to him is that he had begun to feel sorry for himself. Listen to the text. Oh, I'm the only one left. Everybody's trying to get me. Ever feel like that? You know, everybody's out to get me. But he said, no, that's not true. And this is what you have to do. Refocus. Understand that I am not finished with you yet. I have a purpose for you. And then he'll go on to tell him the rest of the story. I was reminded of that the other day. I saw an interview with Linda Ronstadt. Some of you might remember her. Tremendous voice. Poor, poor, pitiful me was the song that came to mind when I was reading the text. And yet, she is in her early 70s now and is unable to sing anymore. Several Grammy Awards over the years, and people were talking to her about that and how difficult it might have been. She said, yes, it was initially, she said, but I never took myself too seriously. But this is what I learned, that just because I can't sing anymore doesn't mean I don't have a purpose. I have to learn to replace what I did with what is still possible for me into the future. What a great attitude. And I think that that's true for people as well. Sometimes, because we can't do what we used to do, we just say, well, nothing to do about it. But we need to allow God to replace what was with what can be. Because as long as we have life and breath, we can stay fresh and green if we are planted in the house of the Lord. So, the first thing is to make sure you get enough rest, stay refreshed, and then refocus. But then, reconnect. Look at what he did. He abandoned his companion, and he ran away, and he hid, or he thought he hid from God. He was isolated. And we know the dangers of isolation. Stay connected. If you have withdrawn, reconnect. The studies are conclusive. Loneliness and isolation are dangerous to our sense of well-being. Scripture is clear. God has created us to be together, to be in a family of faith. 1 Corinthians says, you are called to be together in Christ. Eugene Peterson, in his classic book, Long Obedience in the Same Direction, commenting on Psalm 133, says, it's oxymoronic for a person who claims to be a Christian to not be fully involved in a family of faith. Because once we say that we follow Jesus, then it's important to stay connected so that together we can work on accomplishing God's purpose in our own life as well in the life of the community of faith, and then extend that beyond. Very, very significant. And then he said to him, there are 7,000 people out there. So make sure you go and find some of those people and stay in community. Important to reconnect. And then the last thing, reinvest. And this is the key point at the end. He said, I have at least three people with whom I want you to be intimately involved. I want you to invest your life in them. And there's one person in particular, and that is Elisha. And Elisha is going to be your protege, and Elisha is going to be the person to carry on the ministry. So you have a legacy to leave with Elisha, but you have to spend time with him. You have to walk with him and have him walk with you. You have to talk with him. You have to pray with him, and you have to teach him. And that's such an important piece. If you look at, I'm turning back to Psalm 71 right now, because there's a text in here, and I've mentioned this to you briefly before. Psalm 71 was one of the six psalms that was not named in the Bible. You know, the Psalm of David, a Psalm of Asaph. And Charles Spurgeon called it a psalm of an aging servant. And this is what the psalmist says. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. We can leave a legacy in many different ways. It doesn't have to be financial. We can leave a legacy of passing on the word of God to those around us. And I was speaking with some friends yesterday, and they have spent a significant amount of time helping to raise their grandchildren, which is not uncommon. The estimates are that there are some 6 million grandparents in this country right now that are at least helping to raise their grandchildren. And there's increasing evidence that there's a relationship between grandchildren and grandparents that may not even be there for the children and their own parents. But one of the conversations we had was that these children are learning about Jesus. These children are growing up in the faith because of the investment in their grandparents. Now, most of you probably don't have grandchildren around, but there are other places where we can leave a legacy. It doesn't have to be with grandchildren. It can be with people our own age. And people our own age trust us more than younger people do. So it's important for us to say, who in my life is there where I can spend some time and share the good news, to be an encourager? There are many things that we can do, and you don't have to be magnanimous. In fact, if you look at the text, Elijah was confronted with the fire, the wind, and the earthquake, and God wasn't even in those magnanimous events, but God was in the whisper. And when he was quiet long enough to listen to God, he finally understood what it was he needed to do. And sometimes our lives are full of bluster and full of noise, and maybe sometimes we just need to step back and listen for the whisper of God to find out what it is he has in store for us to do. But first of all, we need to be rested. And then we need to have purpose. And then we need to refocus. And then we need to reinvest and stay connected to those around us. And first and foremost, to our God above. So as we enter this new year, forget about the resolutions. Let's resolve. And let's reset. We may feel as though we don't have much to give, but here's a quote. But no one is useless in this world who lightens the load of others. What simple things can we do to lighten the load of others? Pray, share a meal, visit, encourage. This year, let's not focus on counting the days, but making the days count. Because we are here for God's glory and people's good. And may that be so. Amen.